It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. We're now 11 days away from moving into our new studio. It's Rick Emerson Studio East. So we're looking through this wall of carts. I wonder what this cart is. This is labeled Winona. Let's find out what it is, shall we? All right, let's see what Winona has to say.
Let's go through the chip.
I didn't even hear it. I didn't hear any of that. Hold on, let me re-cue it.
Let's go cruise for chick.
It's a little unnerving. Okay. It's 503-733. Instead of Los Angeles, let me just welcome Jim Roop with a... Let me find a random bed here. Let's welcome... Let's see now from Los Angeles to the... Okay, that's actually creepier than the last thing. What's the creepiest thing I could have over this? I'm dropping things everywhere. That's not right. This is sort of the sound that plays in Clyde's head as he wanders around his apartment late at night, wearing pajamas and talking to his microwave. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent to the stars and a golden god, Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
Woo-hoo.
That bed was just too creepy. I had to get rid of that. I had to go to something else.
I thought I was going to have to come on and say, hi, how are you?
No, see, there's a whole lot of... Can you do a Michael Jackson impression?
Yeah, something. No. Michael Jackson reading a bedtime story would be the creepiest thing.
Scotty, I'm not going
to
try.
Scotty J., can you do a Michael Jackson impression? Are you able to, in any way, are you able to speak like Michael Jackson? Now, come on. Come on in. Come on and give it a try.
Scotty J., this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio. Scotty J., hello, sir.
Somebody hates me.
How are you? Who are you talking about?
You.
No way does that... No, Rick Emerson does not hate you. Hey, Jim, say hello to Scotty J.
Hello, Scotty J.
Scotty J is a little hungover today.
Oh, really?
It's a struggle.
It's a struggle. Now, Scotty, do you know... Did you, in fact, even sleep in bed last night?
Probably.
Do you have any way of knowing that you woke up in bed, sir?
Right.
All right, okay.
So, but you don't know if there was a pillow wall.
Was there a pillow wall?
I don't know what you guys mean by that.
You were the one who called it the pillow wall.
About that. You're the one who introduced that phrase into the Rick Emerson program. Don't be all deceptive now. You introduced us to the phrase pillow wall on those days when you were on those days that you were in disfavor.
I wonder if Jim knows what a pillow wall is.
With Mrs. J. Now, Jim's a married man. He knows about the pillow wall. Don't you?
No, what's a pillow wall?
It's not, it's...
It's when something goes horribly awry, Jim Roop, and you're not allowed to touch your lovely wife for the evening.
I was going
to
say...
All the wall of pillows.
Yes. Not to be confused, it is...
Not to be confused with the wall of shame.
No, see, I was going to take it a different way. I was going to take it the sugar wall's way. It's sort of the diametrically opposed. One might say it's the furthest away from that you could get.
No, it doesn't happen in my house.
No, because Jim is a man. Because Jim lays down the law, and he lets ladies know how it is.
Perhaps they don't have pillows.
Jim, that doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Can I tell you that this is what Scotty greeted me with this morning? I'm walking in the hallway this morning, and I say, hi, Scotty. And he goes, don't look at my shoes. And then he just keeps walking for no reason. Apropos of nothing, doesn't mean anything, gives no explanation, gives no whatever. He just, there's no overture to the statement. He just greets me with, don't look at my shoes. And then stumps off down the hallway, voice about an octave and a half lower than it normally is, and I think with a little bit of drool in the corners of his mouth. So that's the kind of morning that Scotty J.
I
is
hope
having.
The night before was worth that.
It wasn't. And here's how I know it wasn't worth it. Because Scotty lives in the suburbs here, and there's a large hill that separates him and the city. And we've been having a real bad snowstorm and ice storm the last couple of days. Scotty is apparently, and I know your house is filled with booze. That's the thing, Scotty. It's not like there's nothing to drink at your house. I know you. I mean, you probably have at any given moment 5 or 6 bottles of booze hidden within 10 feet of you.
Well, every once in a while you need to get out and see how other people live. That's the deal.
And so Scotty has his friends come by and pick him up. His wife isn't going. His wife says, I'm staying home because it's the responsible thing to do, Scotty. Scotty and his friends are so desperate to go driving late at night in the dark, on the ice, in the snow, to a bar somewhere, that they get out and they actually push a truck up a snow-covered hill just so they can get out of his neighborhood and go booze it up somewhere so they can then drunkenly drive home later. That's how Scotty J. spends his last night. So, when you say worth it, that is, it is a relative statement, Jim Rope. So there you go. So if you ever feel about, if you ever feel badly about your place in life or how things are working out for
you. Oh, I'm a king compared to that.
All right. Well, because you guys are good. I mean, it snowed in Malibu, didn't it?
Yeah, it was cool.
People in Malibu, I mean, I was here listening to Tom Likas last night talking about this.
Yeah.
I mean, there was snow. It wasn't the Golden State Freeway. It was just Or was it? Where was there snow? There was one of the freeways that was just a parking lot because there was...
Yeah, the 5 freeway, what they call the Grapevine on it's the Golden State Freeway.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And there was just, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a lot, probably it was just sprinkling, but I mean, that paralyzes that entire place.
It was enough. I mean, on the 5, on the Interstate 5, there was 3-4 inches of snow, but that's not uncommon for snow to be on the what they call the Grapevine. That happens this time of year. What was odd was snow being in West L.A., Malibu.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird seeing palm trees surrounded by snow.
It's just bizarre. And I mean, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the weather because really, like, what the hell do I know? But I mean, is there any... I mean, that's like 30 years or something probably since that happened.
Yeah,
I mean,
somebody told me 29. And I've been here for 26, 27. I've never seen it.
Is there any reason why that's happening? Or is that one of those things where the sides just kind of shrug
global
and go, well...
warming.
Of course. El Nino, that's the other thing.
We all got an answer for it. I think it's just a freak system that came in. So, rain was predicted, and I think it just got colder than everybody anticipated, and boom. I mean, it's weather's like medicine. It's not an exact science.
There you go. It just got cold, and there was this
cold,
water.
Man.
There was
I want one weather guy to say, man, it just got colder than I thought, I guess, and with the rain coming down, it froze and
then
turned to snow.
This sort of shrug and walk sadly away from the green screen.
Oh, well.
Hey, is it true that some guy, and I'm reading this here, this is on the prep sheet, some guy on an L.A. subway dumped out, quote, a vial of mercury.
Yeah.
And so now there's like the joint terrorism. When you say a vial of mercury, this is not a barrel. This is a small little, this is like a vial, right?
Yeah, you know, 5 ounces.
And this is like the stuff inside the thermometer?
Yeah.
And so they've got the Joint Terrorism Task Force looking into this?
Well, the reason being is, first of all, you got to find out, this is considered one of the heavy metals. You got to figure out why a guy is going to walk around with this heavy metal in the first place. Number two, why is he going into the subway with it? Number three, on the surveillance tape, you could see him crouch down and spill it onto the platform. And then he gets up and goes, calls police. So what police want to know is, number one, why he had it and why he took it in the subway and what was behind the spill. And number four, I guess, because those are three, is this a terrorism dry run? Because a lot of times, at least this is what terrorism experts are saying, is that terrorists will do a dry run and test response time for police.
Oh, you know? Just to see.
And it took police 8 hours after this guy made the phone call to get to the subway platform.
Yes.
So,
got to make you feel good.
Doesn't make me feel good, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what this is all about. That's why the Joint Terrorism Task Force, the JTTF, is involved.
Here's the only reason I ask this. This is really just a long way of making this observation about how trashy my family is. Is that my brother-in-law will gladly tell these stories just for hours about when he was growing up. That was the big toy around his house, was a coffee can filled with mercury. That's what Dad had for the kids to play with. What are you gonna do? I'm gonna go play with some mercury. Literally, just a half Folgers can filled with mercury that the kids would just sit out back and play with. Let's just sit and toss balls of toxic heavy metals at each other. So,
it'll only kill you if you drink it.
That's bad. Or if you hold it for more than a few seconds and it soaks through your palms.
True.
There's that too. So there you go. Hey, are they sending you up to talk to these nitwits at this radio station, the Sacramento guys?
No, they're not sending me there.
All right.
At least they haven't said anything yet.
All right, I'm telling you, because Fred Goldman's on the phone with those guys right now. You know he is. You're just giving them tips. You know what? That guy just sits around just waiting to sue people, talk to other people about suing people. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, that guy just sits around just waiting to give people tips.
I mean, what's killing those guys is that tape that they got a hold of about all those conversations before the contest began.
Oh, yeah, no, we just played it. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Where the nurse calling would go, you're going to kill somebody, and they just... They kind of go.
They signed a release.
Yeah, that's the best part, and by best I mean worst is when the nurse calls up. She's like, you know, they could die, and there's just sort of that verbal just kind of waving away with the voice. So, yeah, I got to tell you, man, as much as I sometimes poke fun at the bureaucracy of CBS Radio and the fact that everything that could be done with one piece of paper is sometimes done with 40, moments like this, you're really kind of glad for
that. Yeah, exactly.
You're kind of glad that, like, that CBS didn't approve some contest where you wanted to, like, you know, set fire to a listener's legs and see how long he could hold out without saying ow, you know, or
something.
Or
have a guy sit in a closed-up car at 120-degree temperatures to see what would happen to him.
I can't, I mean...
How long can you sit in there before you die?
Which is all stuff that's been done. That's the thing. I mean, those are all contests that have been done at some point in radios. God, I remember who it was. It was some guy in Chicago a while back that did some, like... It was in the 90s, and it was, I think, for Garth Brooks tickets, because that's when everything... Garth Brooks was really the high watermark of the what-would-you-do-for-blank-tickets kind of DJ shtick. I saw a guy eat a bowl of live crickets and blah, 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 blah. But there was some guy that literally, like... It was something just so insane and surreal, because he was a butcher or something, and so... He was literally, like, dunking himself in a vat of cow blood or just something that made no sense, but that somebody went, oh, that's fantastic. Let's get the camera, you know. Let's make sure that we get this to Street Talk in R&R Magazine right away.
Hey.
So, all right. Well, in any event.
Well, I feel bad for those guys, you know, but...
They'll get a job. You know that they'll get a... They always do. That's the thing. You don't need to feel bad for those guys. You know that guys like that always end up getting rehired somewhere. You and I both know that.
Yeah, I guess I should feel worse for the family of that poor lady who died, I guess.
She didn't even win.
She got Justin Timberlake tickets, man. That's the worst.
Really? That's what a sad... And we were noting earlier that how sad that her final moments on Earth were spent with some idiot fat DJ named Fester. I mean, that really is that's a bad final memory to create in your brain before you shuffle off the mortal coil.
Did you hear what's the financial status of this family? Are they just a modest family? Or are they?
Well, it's about to double or triple whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They're
going to own that radio station.
Oh, yeah. No, and we used to work for that radio company. We used to work for that radio company until we were asked to leave. So, you know, I'm just saying that we can talk. We'll talk about that with impunity here, because we are now across the street, as they say.
Wow.
All right, Jim Roop, enjoy Los Angeles. Try to stay warm in your,
it's about 63 now. It's beautiful.
I was
going
to say your unholy mid-60s temperatures that you're dealing with down there. All right, yeah, how much mercury can you drink? An exciting new Rick Emerson contest for first quarter 07. All right, I'll do it on a Thursday. All right, thank you, sir.
All righty.
There you go, Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, in Los Angeles. It's 503-733-2970. Are we breaking here?
We could.
All right. I'm trying to see if there's anything we got to get done here. Well, we got to do the suburban perspective, but that can wait. We can do that later on. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth later on, top five. Suburban Perspective, like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7, etc. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Stay there. What's it? I don't understand. You were going to share a secret with Scotty. Here's what just happened. So, we're getting ready to come back, and Scotty says from down in his cave, he says, Sarah! And so Sarah turns to go down to talk to Scotty to see whatever it is he wants. I tag along just because I'm interested in Sarah's life. What is she doing? Who's she talking to? What's up with her? What is Sarah Dillon talking about today to people? I walk in the room, and Scotty clams up and won't say anything. And so now he's saying, Sarah was going to share a secret with me. She can't tell me if you're there. What's the secret?
Why would I tell you?
Because, is there one? So you acknowledge there's a secret you were going to share with Scotty?
Scotty and I were just going to chat for a second.
About something that I can't know?
Speaking in the shadows.
That's fine.
Was there a secret you were going to share with Scotty? Is there something you're going to tell Scotty that I'm not allowed to know?
Maybe.
If he said that you were going to share a secret with him, would he be lying?
No.
You can tell me. You know, that sounds like the card is breaking when I play the beginning of that. It sounds like it actually can't find its regulation speed. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, before he wowed Simon, Paula, and Randy during last night's American Idol, Oregon's own Thomas Daniels took his fair share of punishment from real judges. This over several criminal charges. Apparently, there's some legal documents that reveal in 2004, Thomas Daniels was convicted of DUI in Clackamas. The 21-year-old, who is the first wannabe to get the green light from the crew on last night's show, pled guilty and was sentenced to 1 year alcohol diversion program and a $680 fine.
Hey, is this a guy from Troutdale?
Yeah, well, it says here Clackamas. Isn't that the same thing?
I guess. Are Troutdale and Clackamas the same thing, Scotty?
More or less. That's
I mean, it doesn't really
They're
matter.
Heading in that direction.
It's not where I live, so any place that where... It doesn't matter. If it's not where I live, it's elsewhere. It's some other place where other people live. Well, Laura was talking about today. She was saying she watched a little bit of the American Idol. We've got this aged neighbor who lives on our block that Laura occasionally spends time with. It really is just... I shouldn't say this. It's really just a death check. If you haven't seen Tippi in a few days, you go over and see if she's alive. And so Laura does, but then of course once you're there, hello, hey, who is it? Well, then you can't just run away. So then you're there for like an hour. There for an hour, wandering around, sitting on knitting needles, sitting on her sofa, which the best part is sitting on the sofa and then seeing the apparently alarming number of big, like, blazing candles that she lights and then forgets about and sets down on the carpet to answer the door. Then just comes out again, there's a candle just burning away on the arm of the sofa. Anyway, so Laura got roped into watching, American Idol last night. She said that there was some guy from Troutdale who, I don't know if he was a good singer or not, but I guess he made it
to
the next round or the semifinals or whatever the hell. But you're saying he did what?
He was convicted of DUI in Clackamas in 2004.
Well, it's Clackamas. I mean,
what else is he supposed to do there?
Seriously, everybody there is entitled to a DUI. It just kind of, not that you should do it.
Then in December 2005, arrested again for hit and run. Failed to appear in court for the arraignment.
Shouldn't do that either.
So he was arrested again.
Don't drink 2 gallons of water either. Yeah, I'm not saying you should engage in that activity. But really, Tim, it's a small town. What do you get? You don't see that or paint thinner. So there's a whole lot of nothing. All right, it's 503-733-2970. People are asking more questions about this, the 9-year-old thing. So I have to admit that I missed part of the story earlier because I was busy looking for the Enterkill audio. And so this 9-year-old, it was sledding? The 9-year-old girl was on a sled. Dad is in a truck.
She is in an inner tube.
Okay, she's in an inner tube,
which is tied to the back of a truck
and going down the road.
No, in the schoolyard.
In a schoolyard, yeah. But Dad is driving the truck around.
That's correct.
She's
yes.
on the inner tube. Is Dad drunk?
There are allegations that alcohol may be involved in this.
So the allegations are that the dad is drunk. All right, so that's just speculation. Right.
There apparently was somebody else in this inner tube with the girl. And the thing was, after the inner tube was left behind after the accident, somebody stole it, so the cops are looking for the inner tube.
And he didn't take her to the hospital.
No, he took her to the hospital.
But he didn't call 911.
No.
He called his lawyer.
That's correct, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody ought to be horsewhipped. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's him. He may not, any number of people.
Right.
People in this world, any number of them. Really ought to be kicked in the knees and the groin repeatedly. All right. What are we doing here?
We're going to talk to Oprah a little bit more.
All right.
For the first time, the world is hearing about Sean Hornbeck's life and being abducted 4 years ago at the age of 11. In an exclusive interview on today's Oprah show, Sean said he prayed that he would be found.
I prayed to God that one day I would be back with my family every night, and I crossed myself every night.
You crossed yourself every night?
A very Christian family.
That kid sounds creepy.
Mm-hmm, he does.
There's all of these nutcase parents and kids, and I'm getting them all confused. So...
This is this week's.
This is the kid on Oprah.
Today.
Just let me get through this. This is the Oprah...
Winfrey show.
Stop. But this is the case of the kid that was kidnapped for 4 years by the guy.
Yes.
Is this the kid whose parents... were on earlier, and Oprah was saying, do you think his testicles were slammed in a drawer?
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay.
But she didn't ask that specifically.
No, she didn't, but I mean, that was, that was the obvious, that was the implication. All right.
So then Oprah asked this young fellow, Sean, a number of questions on his captivity.
Did you ever try to write or call them?
No.
Did you have access to internet or phone?
Yeah.
Did you have access to TV?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did you have access to TV as such that you could see the stories about you being...
I could never watch it.
Right. Speaking of parents that need to be kicked in the groin repeatedly, what the hell are these parents doing dragging this kid onto Oprah? Like, didn't they just find him like 3 days ago?
Yeah. Well, the buzz kind of leaves the story if you don't act right away.
Those book deals don't sustain themselves.
Right. We're done with the surviving brother of the people who died on the mountain.
Yeah, no, it's true.
That was last week.
The fizzle goes right out of those stories if you don't exploit it for all it's worth immediately.
Right.
The kid was living in a cage up until like 72 hours ago.
Right.
What should we do to welcome our son home? What is up with, I swear to God. This is why I'm so glad I don't have kids.
Would you put him on the Tony Danza show?
I don't think you can do that anymore, even if you wanted to. Can you?
I don't know. Who's got a talk show this week?
Let's
go through the listing here and see who has a daytime talk show that he can be on.
I'm not even sure.
Would you put him on Conan O'Brien?
Yes. Yes. Have him interview.
How about Megan Mullally?
Have him. No, that show's already gone.
Rachel Ray? You can't because Civil Shepherd's on today.
You can't. The Rachel Ray program. Would you
put him on Smallville?
You're going too fast. I'm not able to make my pithy observations. No, it's too. No, it's over.
No.
No,
keep going.
Go back to the Rachel Ray one.
Would you put him on Rachel Ray?
Did he ever consider giving you shallots? No, see, it's not even really funny. Now that I do it, it's not even all that amusing. Scotty is demanding to know if he received milk under the door.
I don't know.
Scotty, you shouldn't type anything for the rest of the day. I am so glad that I don't have kids, and I think I speak for all of us in that room, because I think having kids, there's just like a 1 in 5 chance you're just going to end up as a goddamned imbecile. You got this guy who takes his 9-year-old out there sledding. And he knew she was injured, right? Isn't that the thing? Should I call 911 or my lawyer? I'll just call my lawyer. 911 is for sissies. Seriously. Just 5 minutes alone. And I think I speak for all parents within the sound of my voice right now when I say that. Just 5 minutes and a hose and a lockable door. And then these idiot parents, the kid's kidnapped, the kid's clearly mental. I mean, he's obvious, what's his name, Sean Hornbeck?
Wait, it's just going to get worse.
Sean Hornbeck has gone away. Sean Hornbeck has gone, listen to how creepy this kid sounds.
I prayed to God that one day I would be back with my family every night.
Wait for it.
And I crossed myself every night.
You crossed yourself every night?
A very Christian family.
Frost myself?
I don't cast a reflection.
Maybe frosted himself.
Seriously, I mean, you've been living mentally, if not physically, under lock and key for 4.5 years. They find him after 4.5 years, 72 hours ago, the parents. What should we do? Should we take him to a therapist? Should we move maybe to another country for a while, get out of the country to escape media attention? Should we just keep him warm and safe in the bosom of our family? Let's put him in front of television cameras. Now! Get him to a TV studio. Call King World. Seriously, there's a whole bunch of people in this world who just deserve to be kicked repeatedly in the ribs. I mean, I'm for days. With a break, you know, about halfway through so they can heal just a little bit. God damn, I hate people. All right. I'm sorry. It just makes me angry. And it makes me angry. And then I don't even like children. And it makes me angry. Ugh. All right.
Well, now that it's snowing in Malibu, it's time to do something about that dry winter skin. Dr. James Lebeko of the Cleveland Clinic says, now is the time to whore and do something about that dry winter
Now's
skin.
Now's the time to whore? You always know just what to say, Tim Riley.
Number three.
Hold on a second. Let's use this. This is called Chonga's Culture Corner.
That's what happens when you use carts. Oh, are we off the air?
Are we off the air?
I don't hear anything.
I can't.
I am taking this. That's it.
All right, that's only the first time I've spilled these, baby.
Nope.
So there.
I still have Chunk's Culture Corner. Wait, hold on. I just knocked some carts under the board. Wait, hold on. All right.
Okay. You happy?
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. What are we doing?
We're doing something about that dry winter skin.
And from where?
Number three. Well, from the Cleveland Clinic.
All right. This is number three?
Yes, it is.
As we approach the winter months, the skin gets drier due to the dry forced air that we have, the longer hot showers that we take, and we all and all start to get very dry this time of year.
Yes, indeed. It's kind
this
of...
This music doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't matter. It's time to pile on that moisturizer.
Number we four. Should moisturize immediately after getting out.
Moisturize isn't a word.
Never mind. We should moisturize.
It's not. It's after. Not. It's not. Okay, fine.
How is it not a word?
I'm just enjoying this music. What else do I have to play here?
Let's maybe see. Tim's News Bites?
Let me... Oh, sassy. If you haven't heard Imus in the Morning, holy flashback.
As many have not. For many years. Yet he keeps going.
Well, draw my cord. I'm sorry. Let me get back to these Cleveland Clinic cuts. This is what?
It's time to use lots of moisturizer.
We should moisturize immediately after getting out
not
of the shower
word.
And patting ourselves to dry with a simple lotion or cream available over the counter just about anywhere. Doing so will provide those oils back on the skin that prevent you from being dry and itchy.
You know I have to.
Why?
You know I have to. You know I...
It rubs lotion on its skin. It does this when it's cold.
Okay, I'll play the full thing.
Why do you not think moisturize is a word?
Do you care?
No, I'm just...
Why are you asking?
You're very frustrating.
You don't care. Why am I frustrated?
Because I don't see any reason how moisturize would not be a word.
I want to talk about it. All right. I'm just saying moisturize. It's not a word. Here's Tim Ryan.
I am taking those away from you.
The word is moisten. That moisturize is a made-up 50s atomic age space word. Like when they say...
Not in the dictionary?
So ain't is in the dictionary. Doesn't mean it's a goddamn word. Irregardless ain't. Is in the dictionary. Doesn't mean you're supposed to say
well,
it.
Well, does moisturize... Well, because ain't is in there as a slang
ain't gonna
term.
Moisturize.
Or, moisturize is a made-up word.
It's like Kwanzaa.
It's the Kwanzaa. It's the Kwanzaa of liquidating words. No, I'm saying... What I'm saying is that the word is moisture, is to moisten. Things are not moisturized, they are moist. It's like the word crispy. You know, there is no...
If you put on moisturizer, you're not moist.
It's dries. It's not crispy, it's... No, what I'm saying is things aren't crispy, that's not a word. Things are crisp.
Crisp creams?
Doesn't crisp mean cold?
No, let's move forward.
Well, Lindsay Lohan has checked into rehab. Her publicist said, she
fantastic.
Said, quote, I have made a proactive decision. Everyone says that now. A proactive decision to take care of my personal health.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's deteriorating rapidly. I appreciate your well wishes. We didn't make any. And ask that you please respect my privacy at this time.
Yeah, we'll get right on that.
Us Weekly reports that Lohan entered the posh Wonderland Center in Los Angeles. On Wednesday, arriving in a sport utility vehicle and clutching a Jamba Juice.
I hate her.
Lindsay told People magazine that she had been going to AA meetings for a year.
Is this the same story where she denies that she drinks out in public?
Yes.
Because that's the thing, is she made that AA statement, but it was in the same story where she was talking about, where she was saying, was that idiot statement about blah, 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 I drink Red Bull instead.
Well, I've read a lot on this, and... I guess when she went into the hospital to get her appendix out, even though she doesn't have a scar, whatever.
You're doing the Scotty finger quote.
Well, that was a quick appendix thing, wasn't
it? Well, it's so frustrating because she's like, oh, no, I had my appendix out. Yet there's
through
a picture of her the next day frolicking around in a bikini, like a string bikini, and you can obviously see there's no scar.
Through my ear. Yeah, that you're, I never...
And then, no, the excuse that they're giving is that the painkillers that she took for her appendix getting out led her to all of a sudden fall off the wagon and have an all-night stint of drinking and doing drugs and passing out in the middle of the Chateau Marmont. At 6 o'clock in the morning.
So this is a whole house that Jack built thing, all predicated on the fact that she had her appendix out, which she never did.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, fantastic. Why would you lie about something that is so obviously a checkable fact?
Exactly.
All the stars do it.
Yeah, but I mean, lie about something else. Say you had some sort of crotch operation or something. Something that they can't really check on right away. Well, no, you know what I'm saying.
I suppose
I don't.
That's true.
I'm saying she's out in a bikini, and you're all like, look, she's in a bikini, no appendix scar. I'm saying if you're going to do that, at least let's say, you know, say whatever. Say I had a third nipple removed. Something that's not easily. You would think that if she's clearly not like the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm saying that her publicist, at least, if you're going to lie, just lie about something that's not so easily deducible by anybody with a telephoto lens. I'm sorry.
Plus, that same night when she was in there for one night, saying that she got her appendix out, and then that night that she got out of the hospital, she was out till 3 o'clock in the morning in the club.
And which is great. I'm sorry for getting so cranked up about the moisturized thing. It's one of those 50s miracle words that they sort of created to advertise like freeze-dried things on television during the Howdy Doody show. It's not a real word. It kind of bugs me. I try to get past it. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, three pregnant teens living in a group home whacked the director over the head with a frying pan, tied her up, and then fled the scene in a stolen minivan in American Fork, Idaho.
Fantastic.
The director, who was tied up with power cords, eventually broke free and called the police. She also freed another pregnant teen tied up in the attack. Authorities believe the teens, two 15-year-olds and one 16-year-old, left the state, and the search is underway. They stole the director's purse, checkbook, credit card, cell phone, and video camera. The motive isn't clear. Parents of the girls, who are from California, Texas, and Illinois, have been notified. The home is a place where strangling pregnant teens are sent away. It is about 30 miles south of Salt Lake City.
I didn't think that happened anymore. You said American Fork, Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
America.
I'm sorry, Utah.
Oh, I was going to say, because, okay, no, American Fork, Utah makes a whole lot more sense. No, Utah is one of the very, that's a thing you don't hear too much in American culture, that whole, here's the thing that doesn't happen to girls anymore. Girls don't get in trouble anymore. That's the thing that used to happen back in the 50s and 60s. What happened to Sissy? Sissy had to move away. Why? She got in trouble.
I thought it was she had to spend some time with her staying on with her grandparents.
That too. She's in the countryside. That's like the farm that your dog goes to live on. There is no farm. Your dog is not living there. There is no grandmother in the countryside. Sissy is in a hospital somewhere, being medicated every day. Sissy's next to that Kennedy daughter that nobody really talked about. But Utah is one of those places where you get pregnant, they'll find a place to send you. They'll put you.
Not like a cottage industry.
Exactly. They will find a place. If you are pregnant or you drink or you are in any other way not like a little Breck kid, they will find a place in the countryside for you to live until you are all better. That really, in any number of ways, that is a cottage industry in Utah. It's a bad, bad place. You shouldn't go there.
And is it effective?
No, it is not. Rick, you may not like moisturized, but it is a word. Insisting it's not a word just makes you seem weird. I know what you're saying. Here's the thing about it, and would you like to know why I obsess on it?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate you being my enabler. That really is why Tim and I function so well together. Because Tim is like, I don't know, you see those old people that have been married to each other for like 50 years, and how do you like the roast beef? Is it great? Yes, it's fine. It's just sort of the husband that just sort of mouths along, yes, your roast beef is fantastic. And in his head, he's just, why am I here? on and on, she talks every day. No, I was listening, Martha. Good God Almighty, I wish I was dead. Anyway, the moisturized crispy thing is something that never, ever, ever occurred to me until, of all people, G. Gordon Liddy put it out one time, like 10 years ago. I was listening to the G. Gordon Liddy program, one of, I don't know, probably five people in the country who was doing so at that time. And I heard him, and I swear to God, there's G. Gordon Liddy. Let's see, it really requires a newspaper to do this. G. Gordon Liddy doing his second hour bit, which is where he just read from the newspaper. That was the entire second hour of his program. He would read from the newspaper all day. And here's G. Gordon Liddy. He would... Brilliant. And I'm now seeing that they used, and it was the Washington Post or somebody. And he said, they have once again used moisture. And how sad that I can kind of do a passable impersonation of G. Gordon Liddy. You were talking about a goddamn useless skill. Where am I going to peddle that? Where am I going to... You can't feed your family with a codpiece, and you can't feed your family with a G. Gordon Liddy impression. That's a skill I can use nowhere. Not even here, because no one cares.
Perhaps it's piped into some rest home every day for people to listen to.
That's what I should totally do.
Nonstop G. Gordon Liddy is available on our public address system for the young at heart.
I should totally do that. Like, they have those tribute shows where some guy...
TV's Ed McMahon recommends.
Like one of those shows where they have Bobby... It's like some Bobby Darin impersonator come to the old folks' home. What's the entertainment tonight? We're having a Bobby V cover artist. He will be in the main room singing Bouncy Bouncy and all of his other hits, or whatever the hell. be a G. Gordon Liddy tribute act. I used to be able to do the opening to his radio program, but even I realized that was pointless.
That is one for God.
In my...
Can you please do the opening of My Little Margie?
That's fantastic.
Or Miss Brooks. There's a great need for that.
Rick, can you please do a Barry Farber impression over and over again for hours? Anyway, well, there's no point now. But anyway, so G. Gordon Liddy was and he's a grammar Nazi.
And I'm sure a lot of people care at this point. Now that we've gone this far.
I was gonna say that he's a grammar Nazi to begin with. Grammar and other things. Anyway, so he was. And they have clearly used the word moisturizer when they mean moistener. This is unacceptable. And it is a, you know, and he was talking, it's a travesty and a dilution of the English language. And then it just stuck in my head.
I'm sorry I brought this story up.
I know, it's been like 10 minutes.
The whole thing.
From that day forward, ever since G. Gordon Liddy pointed it out, and who thought that I would ever say that? I never cared about what it... Tim's just reading the grocery ad. Tim's just going through and circling, like, celery coupons. The final thought on this, I think, comes from Tom, who says, a guy who talks openly and lovingly about cheese whiz is in no position to criticize the word moisturize. Shut your hole. All right. Well, who could argue with that? Anything else you'd like to bring up, Tim?
No.
You sure?
We're going to be talking about people next hour who are 81 and who have been dead for 50 years.
Okay. Okay. There you go. You heard it here first. What a week this has been. Is it Friday? It feels like a Friday.
No, it's Thursday.
Another day of this. Another day like this, I'm going to be dead. Is somebody really calling to say that? Okay, well, Pam, you hang on. All right, it's 503-70. That's a tease. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Broadcasting from inside the Beltway. Live from WJFK, of all places, actually. If you like this Liddy humor, you might enjoy the Don and Mike program tonight from 7 to 11. The only other people on the earth who make G. Gordon Liddy jokes in 2007. So we're all together there. We'll be back after this. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio show.